Have you ever heard a boring sermon before? I'm glad to see no one's hands immediately went up in the air, at least waving around very frantically. And I hope and pray that you don't hear too many boring sermons. And hopefully not from this pulpit. But I will admit, what does make a boring sermon, so to speak? If the preacher is proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, can that ever be boring? Can hearing about our Savior and the forgiveness of sins ever be boring? Well, I will admit, that is the message the church proclaims. And in one essence, it's a message we need to hear every single week. But as we hear this message every single week, sometimes our human nature sort of gets the best of us and says, isn't this boring? I'd like to have something new, something different. Do we always have to talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Can't we talk about something else? Well, today, as the church is celebrating the end of the church year, the Sunday of the fulfillment, we will be talking about our coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what our text has to say from Mark chapter 13. Jesus notes that no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels, not even Him. Only the Father. But He tells us to do something. He says, be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. But if the church is preaching the same message of Christ and Him crucified for the last 2,000 years, and it's been 2,000 years that He's promised to come back again, does that ever get a little old? A little difficult to keep watch? How long can you keep watch before apathy starts setting in, where we'd rather not watch the door, but we'd rather watch the TV, something that's different, something that's more exciting. Besides, the big game will be on this afternoon. We'll see whether the Bears will win again or not. Well, if it's not apathy, sometimes it's just being distracted. And we have to be on guard. Because, yes, there's many things in our world that will try to distract us from Christ and Him crucified. So, I'm going to introduce a term that I probably have never named from this pulpit before. Have you ever heard the term Christian Zionism? I hope and pray that this is something new to you, that you're probably sitting there going, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Is this some Greek term or some Hebrew term? And the answer is no. If you have heard about it, then you need to listen to this message. Because let me just quickly summarize what Christian Zionism is all about. Christian Zionism looks for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is what the church is celebrating today. But they look through this return for the return of Christ through a certain set of circumstances. It's not predicting the exact time or day. We've heard other people try to do that before. But they have a different line of thought. Their line of thought is that the return of Christ will occur and can only occur if the state of Israel is still in existence. And that land, that chunk of real estate that we would call Israel, must belong to the Jewish people. And this Jewish people have a special dispensation or measure of grace from God apart from Jesus Christ. Well, for those of you who know me and have heard my messages, you should probably already figure out that this is going to make the theological hairs in the back of my neck stand up on end. Christian Zionism is wrong in a couple ways. One of the greatest way that they're is wrong is they're trying to manipulate God's return. Notice in our text from Mark, no one knows when the house owner is going to come. No one knows when that man is going to return. And He's going to return regardless whether the house is standing or it's not standing. He's going to return whether people believe in Him or not. He's going to return whether the people of Israel have claim to Jerusalem or not. Christian Zionism, however, puts the emphasis in the wrong category. It is trying to make the return of Christ man's doing, not God's doing. However, as Jesus notes at the beginning part of our text, it's not man's doing. It is God's doing. Another aspect that they are wrong is they put an overemphasis into the political system. The political system that God has promised them land through the Old Testament. Now, to be fair, there are many promises of the Old Testament to Abraham and his descendants that the land is there providing. Providing. They remain faithful to the covenant. This is what Jesus was trying to teach the Pharisees when he said, out of these stones, God could raise up sons of Abraham. It's not the lineage or your birth that will save you. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. But then again, they don't believe in that either, at least not for the Jewish people. Needless to say, there are many errors within Christian Zionism. And the reason why I bring this up is because for some people, Christian Zionism has become a distraction. We're told in our text to keep watch. But for some, Christian Zionism has become that distraction. They are more concerned with other things instead of watching for what God's Word tells them. Now, for those of you who have said, Pastor, until this day, I've never even heard of Christian Zionism. What does this have to do with me? Well, let me get to part two of Christian Zionism. And you may have heard this name. He was recently in the news, within the last month. His name of a former pastor and former president of the National Evangelical Association called Ted Haggard. And the question is, why is he now a former pastor and former president? Well, he was recently removed because of accusations of sexual behavior. And I will admit, they had some reasonable cause to remove him. But for the moment, I don't want to pick on him per se. For that particular reason, I want to go back a little bit further on what he did earlier this year. Earlier this year, because he is a strong proponent of Christian Zionism, he brought a Jewish rabbi from Jerusalem to come to fill his pulpit, to show the bonds of Christian unity with Zionism. It's interesting that instead of an opportunity to proclaim God's word and Christ and Him crucified, for some, that may get a little boring at times. They brought in a Jewish rabbi who did not proclaim Christ and Him crucified, who proclaimed a little bit of a message of moralism and being good, but not that you have a Savior through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, yes, he was removed. And yes, there are grounds to remove a pastor. But first and foremost should be that of false doctrine. Needless to say, he should have been removed a lot earlier for that of heresy, of promoting Christian Zionism. But Luther is correct when Luther says, the white devil of spiritual sin is far more dangerous than the black devil of carnal sin. Luther continues by saying, the better men are without Christ, the more likely they are to ignore and oppose the gospel. Isn't it interesting? It was the accusations of homosexuality that got him removed, not that of false doctrine. That is truly the distraction that Jesus is trying to warn us against by saying we need to be on guard and be alert. We have to remember that all of us have sinned. If you take a look at my life is not really much different with the amount of sins than Ted Haggard's. Maybe different types of sins, fair enough. But yet, I'm still a sinner. And so is Ted Haggard. And so are you. We are in need of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. That is why we come and gather. But the pulpit, what the church gathers around to hear God's word, should be that word. That message of the forgiveness of sins for all people. That Christ died for all. Yes, this is nothing new. This should be the same message the church has been preaching for 2,000 years. However, Christian Zionism is something new. It is a product of the 19th century, first starting over in Europe, particularly in England, and then migrating to the United States. This is a new distraction. And where it comes into more of a distraction is its political influence even upon the government of the United States. Now, I don't want to tell our government who they should be allies with, but at the same time, they should use their best judgment. But also at the same time, God's word is for proclamation of God's word, not for political ideologies. We're living in a time where people want you. And so does our Savior, for He has you through the waters of baptism. He has claimed you as His own. But now He says, I want you to be on guard. So He sends His Holy Spirit to continue to keep us focused. But our human nature is strong. Our human nature wants to be distracted. Another way that we get distracted, when we get back to Ted Haggard, was why did he make the headlines? I already told you my viewpoint. I think he should have been removed earlier, or at least chastised earlier, not for the homosexual activity, but for promoting a Christian Zionism. But the homosexual activity does ring our ear. You see, we are also distracted by judgmentalness. How many times do we even sit in condemnation of other people because of their sins, but yet failing to realize our own sinfulness, our own need for a Savior? When we get distracted by judgmentalness, we are not looking for a Savior. In one essence, we're kind of becoming our own Savior. Another aspect that this Christian Zionism brings up again with Ted Haggard is the church's boredom with correct doctrine. Too often we can't sit still long enough to make sure that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. To make sure that, yes, what is being proclaimed is the truth of God's word. We sit there and say, you know, that's boring. Why don't we leave that up to the theologians or the spiritual attorneys, so to speak. But yet Christ calls us to keep watch. If we're not keeping watch, or we're being distracted, we have a problem with today's text. That distraction will lead us to go astray. That's why Luther does say, because it seems like our world is more focused upon those black carnal sins instead of those white spiritual sins. But what does Luther say is most dangerous? That little bit of heresy. That is the most dangerous. So yes, we need to be on guard to make sure that we are proclaiming the truth of God's word. But yet, our sinful hearts would rather be judgmental and be distracted by the black carnal sins. That's why Ted Haggard made it into the news recently. Yes, we live in a world that needs to hear this message of what does it mean to be on watch, to be on guard. Exactly that. Not to be bored, not to be filled with apathy, not to be filled with judgmentalness, but to be concerned with the truth and the proclamation of Christ and Him crucified. So this day we need to cling to Christ, who forgives sins. Even the sins of judgmentalness, even the sins of boredom, even the sins of apathy, the answer is yes. There's only one unforgivable sin, and that is rejection of what our Lord and Savior has done, to reject that gospel. And when our itching ears is looking for something new, opposed to the gospel, we stand at the door of rejection. So this day, as our church year comes to a close, we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to clean our hearts, to continue to draw us back to Him. We ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of the joy of the forgiveness of sins through Christ and Christ alone. We know that He comes again to free us from our judgmental hearts and to take us to a place where we will see our Savior, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified forever in heaven above. And when we are with Him forever in heaven above, we will not be bored, because our dissatisfaction and boredom with God's word is because of our human sinful nature. But in that last day, when we are with our Lord and Savior in heaven above, there will be no more sin, no more boredom, no more sorrow. We will be with our crucified Savior, and we will rejoice. We have to note that the Sunday of the fulfillment is not man's doing. If I had anything to do with it, I would say, come, Lord Jesus, come today. Take me from this veil of tears, as Luther notes of it, and bring me to be with You in heaven above. But in the Lord's time, not my time, not your time. Christian Zionism isn't the answer. It is a distraction. Neither is our judgmentalism and condemning other people. That's not the answer. The final and the only answer is Christ Jesus. Quaint, but true. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In His name, amen.